You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back to Mentoring Matters, Today's Business World. We're discussing diversity in mentoring today, and I'm pleased to have as my guest Christopher Taborn, for Diversity Manager from Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and Mary Hester Clifton, Diversity Manager from T. Rowe Price. Welcome back, both of you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. This interesting conversation. And when we left off, I know Chris is just speaking about diversity, and I sort of wanted Mary's take on this whole question as well.
Okay, one of the things that I think with formal versus informal, and Chris sort of alluded to that, or actually covered it, and I really agree with the fact that it's more around using the word informal, but also providing maybe some best practices, and that's how we handle it. So formal mentoring probably and informal mentoring could be managed very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that the program manager responsibilities may be a little less or not there. So how we handle that is that we offer an informal mentoring workshop.
Oh.
Where if you're interested in having a mentor, if that's been a recommendation as part of your development plan from your manager, or you personally feel that you'd like to do that, then we offer a workshop on just building the relationship. So the person takes accountability for ensuring success.
Okay.
But using all of the best practices and sort of really taking a little workshop time, maybe 2 to 4 hours, to build their own plan with the person that they want to work with.
So giving them the tools to find their own mentor at some level is what you're talking about.
Exactly, and to make sure that they have the right mindset and have a beginning and an end, because mm-hmm. our mentoring model does look at it where, you know, you're trying to move out of this relationship. It's not forever.
Yep.
So you want to have a beginning and an end. You want to have a goal. You know, you want to have a discussion. You know, you want to have clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Around the relationship, so, yeah. And building that, and you just take responsibility for the success.
So by what both of you have been talking about is a way to address the idea of formal mentoring being somewhat limited in terms of numbers is to simply expand mentoring in various creative ways. One of those is informally.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is to sort of give people the tools to be able to find a mentor so they could kind of empower themselves to have these kinds of relationships.
Exactly, because I think in your, you know, with the history of mentoring, probably that's how it was, I guess, from the beginning.
Yes.
It just sort of happened by two people getting together, but I think what happens in corporate America is that you just need some parameters and some tools, and you want to
yeah.
feel that you're doing it the right way and the most effective and efficient way.
Yeah,
and I'd also say, too, that Mary brings up a good point in terms of you don't want these programs to go on forever, and that's not really the purpose of Enterprise as well. I mean, one of the things that we set as a goal is that we want to really create a mentoring culture within our organization
mm-hmm.
whereby in future years there really would not be much of a need for a formal mentorship program at all, because just by the culture itself and how people have learned how to be able to mentor the individuals, that we create a self-sustaining informal program that would go on for ages and just has a invaluable benefits to our employees, both as leaders and managers in their businesses.
Yes.
That's a good thought. The idea of creating a mentoring culture so that, in essence, at some point, the formal structure is not as necessary.
Right.
Now, I know that, Chris, in your case, you've had this program for about, you know, a couple of years or so. And, Mary, you've had programs for how long, would you say?
At T. Rowe?
Yeah.
We've had programs for probably about 4 years.
Okay. So do either one of you see the kind of thing that we talked about, which is a mentoring culture developing? Do you see any evidence of that at all, or do you think it's too early to tell yet, or things along those lines?
Well, I can just speak for Enterprise right now, because we've had mentoring programs for a long period of time, but I really think that in our recent efforts, since we've completely revitalized or revamped our formal mentorship programs, I think we're now doing it the right way
mm-hmm.
and have a much more effective program. So as right now, it's a little bit too early to say, since we're still in the beginning stages of our company-wide rollout, to say mm-hmm. that we're developing a mentoring culture. But some of the early indications in terms of the feedback of the participants in our program or suggestive in the fact that that is, in fact, starting to develop.
And I'd say from T. Rowe's perspective, I think it's more around cross-fertilization. I think those are probably some of the early signs here at T. Rowe that mentoring is working, where people across functional areas are coming together. That's the feedback we hear. Because a lot of people can be very siloed or focused on their business.
Yes.
But when you experience mentoring across, then it's you sort of looking up and across a little bit more.
Do you see, Mary, because you've had the programs a little bit longer and you've had some that have been focused specifically on diversity, do you see a change in perceptions of diversity and in perhaps empowerment of traditionally disadvantaged people at this point?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I would say our affinity network group has really presented opportunities and people in a very positive light. Things as simple as a lot of community involvement, the opportunity to sit on community boards, the opportunity to become more visible in the community, and then taking that those skills and that exposure and bringing it back into the workforce. Because T. Rowe is really involved in the community. So it, it sort of allows for some training ground outside of the corporate arena that is then transferred back in. And I think the other thing is that it has allowed us to recruit more minorities. Because we're at our challenge is that we're not in New York. So most investment professionals in colleges and the top schools, we still want those top school people, but we're competing Baltimore to New York. So having an affinity group, it allows people to understand sort of the value of even deciding to live in the Baltimore area.
Good point. Chris, what in terms of recruiting, who do you go after? I mean, who are the people you're looking after? Where do you do most of your recruiting?
Oh, well, enterprise, we actually, we recruit all over. I mean, we have over 225 recruiters company-wide that work on a full-time basis to recruit for their local marketplaces. So our recruiting is done very, very decentralized. Obviously, this is, we have our, the position that we recruit for is our entry-level management trainee program. That's about where 98% of all of our employees go through, starting out in our organization. So we recruit at college campuses, recruit at, you know, third-party career fairs, recruit through the internet. We have many different sources. And we also have many different sources from a diversity standpoint. I mean, we cover the gambit as far as recruiting is concerned. So it's a big push for us.
And Mary, do you, you have diversity recruiting as well, I assume, and do you rely a lot on professional associations for diversity to recruit people, or do you go, what is your market, do you know, in terms
We, of course, go to historically black colleges and universities. We're also members of Latino societies and Asian societies. There's a website. We actually have a recruiter that is devoted to diversity recruiting. Yeah, and so she keeps us informed a lot on, you know, where our candidates are. We also have a association with a group called TWIGO, and they recruit minorities from the top schools, and we will go to different areas and schools through that association too.
Great. That's wonderful. One of the issues I also want to address a little bit, because I know that, Chris, you had this experience, is we were talking the very first show about coaching and mentoring and the importance of understanding the difference between those two. Could you talk a little bit about the experience that you had in enterprise or have in enterprise with regard to those two issues?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that we have a new formal mentorship program that we're currently rolling out in our company. And I say new formal mentorship program because one of the things we did several years ago through our employee opinion survey is we asked our employees how well they felt that they were getting mentored within our organization, and we found out that we had some opportunities for improvement in that area. So that started an initiative to put together a formal mentorship program that would be available to provide our employees really what they needed in the area of mentoring. And one of the things we did in that part of that process is we brought in management mentors. And one of the things we asked management mentors to do was to look at some of our existing programs that we had out there in our system And the information that we got back, that many of our mentoring programs that we called mentoring programs are really more coaching programs, meaning that they focus more on skill development, they focus more on tasks, things that you typically would associate with your manager versus true mentoring, which was more relationship building. So that for us was a pretty big paradigm shift in terms of really helping us to focus on what we really wanted to provide our employees, and that is true mentoring versus coaching.
And that makes a difference, isn't it? Doesn't it? When you're clear about what it is the expectations are, that is what the program is supposed to do. Your expectations are clear, and the relationship is more likely to succeed.
Exactly. That's the one word that, because I do facilitate the informal mentoring workshop, is clarity.
Clarity.
And at the end of the day, that is what this is about clarity. Clarity of the relationship, the desires, understanding each other, what you bring to the table, you know, where you want the relationship to go, how you want it to develop, what is the outcome.
And when you do these workshops, Mary, do you find kind of the way I do, and I don't know if this is the same for you, but I often find when I train, people come in with one understanding of mentoring and then leave with another one, which is, to my mind, a better one. But
yes.
Do you find that that's the case with you, or do you find that people come in, pretty much have the right idea, you're just helping them tweak a little bit?
No, I think what it is around, I think when people think about mentoring, it's probably, just like you said earlier, too broad.
Yeah. And you know what? At this point, we have to take another break. And Mary, when we come back, I would like you to answer that question a little bit more.
Okay.
We'll come back in a few minutes to discuss diversity and mentoring with our guests. In the meantime, if you want to give us a phone call, our number is 1-866-472-5790. Thank you for listening to Mentoring Matters.